The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. The Champions League returned today as the group stage is kicked off. The big game, PSG taking on Manchester United. And it would be United who would take all 3 points with a 2-1 victory in Paris. As Stevie Nicol, Frank LaBeouf and Craig Burley join us. Craig, how did this happen?
Well, because United actually had a decent shape about them. I mean, there was a defensive shape, of course, with the injuries and personnel that were missing. I mean, PSG had players missing as well. But they gave themselves a platform in which to hit on the counter-attack. It's no surprise, Dan, that their away form under Solskjaer has been pretty good in terms of the results they've got. And that's a lot down to the way they set up. But they were a threat going forward. And they were a threat going forward because I'm sure the boys will touch on it, that PSG at the back were an absolute shambles. And so United fully deserved to take advantage of that.
Stevie, a lot of question marks when we saw that starting 11. No Van de Beek, no Pogba. But it worked out.
Well, it worked out because on the break, they are pretty devastating. You know, Fernandes, Martial and Rashford are a handful for any defence. And a defence that Craig said was right is a shambles, then they're going to look good. And quite honestly, had Rashford actually been on his game, this could have been 4 or 5 for United. You know, twice they had 2 against 1, running at the goalkeeper, Rashford with the ball at his feet, and he just made 2 horrible decisions. Other than that, the goalkeeper's made a couple of good saves as well. So, listen, United deserve to win. At the end of the day, PSG's goal is an own goal. It hasn't even come from anything they've really done other than throw a ball in the box. So, hey, United deserve this big time.
Frank, you agree United deserve this?
Completely. Completely deserve the win. They did everything to make sure that they could win. And Paris Saint-Germain made everything to make sure that they're going to lose it. When you know that the best player for PSG side is Navas, the goalkeeper, it says a lot and it says all. I saw nothing. Craig mentioned the defense. They've been awful. But I want to mention the three up front. When it was only a show, individual show, they don't play together. They don't want to do something. They don't want to work defensively when they lose the ball. It's not a squad, it's not a team, it's just individuals, and they showed it today. Well done, Manchester United. They work hard together, and they made sure that everything worked together because they played together.
This game got more and more embarrassing, I felt, for PSG, Craig, because they just had no control over anything.
Yeah, they're lazy, and somehow managed to cobble it together last year to get to the Champions League final. But they're lazy, Frank's right, and on top of that, you know, the excuses were coming out about, you know, the fatigue for Neymar and the travel and the game that he had for Brazil where he played very well. But that was a week ago. It was a week ago. You know, and I get the travel and all that. And then the other side of the coin is, you know, where's the brains of Thomas Tuchel or even Kylian Mbappe himself? You know, he came up against 2 of the quickest players in the United team, Twanzebe and Wan-Bissaka. Now, we know how quick he is, Kylian Mbappe. But even he struggled to outrun those two because they're super fast. So I tell you what, go and have a little pop on the other side at Luke Shaw and Telles. Luke Shaw has been criticised at times for looking as if he's carrying a bit of timber. Go and have a run at him. But no, you stay in the left-hand side because what? Guess what? You like coming in your right foot? Well, he did it a couple of times. One of the times De Gea had to make a great save, I'll give you that. But if you're getting no joy out of Wan-Bissaka, who is very, very fast, and made 3 or 4 really good challenges, go to the other side and have 10, 15 minutes over there. There's just no thought process from this PSG team.
There seemed to be no evidence of any sort of game plan apart from give it to Neymar or Mbappe, Stevie.
But that's nothing new. You know, I thought Thomas Tuchel was brought in because he was some sort of tactical genius, and you know he's the new wave of coach. And Unai Emery got sacked because that's how they ended up playing all the time. Just give it to Neymar, give it to Mbappe. And what have they done since Tuchel's come? Absolutely nothing different. Just get the ball to one of those two, and then they'll produce something. I mean, how long is it going to take PSG to figure out that either they need a coach who's going to be able to grab, particularly Neymar, and say, right, this is what you do. You don't float about and do what you want. This is what you have to be doing. And when is upstairs going to try and sign some proper players that are going to give the owners who want the Champions League the Champions League? You ain't getting the Champions League signing Ander Herrera, who probably shouldn't have been playing for Manchester United. So, all round, it's PSG.
Well, let me throw another one into that, Stevie. Let me throw another, and let nothing against the youngster, because he may go on and have a good career, but you're bringing in Moise Keane from Everton, who couldn't get a game there. I mean, it's just a real head scratcher. I mean, maybe we get carried away with them last year, Frank, and you can pick me up on this if I'm wrong, but their route at the end to the Champions League final, I believe, and it seems a while ago, I know it wasn't, was Borussia Dortmund, RB Leipzig, who had lost their best player in Timo Werner, and Atalanta, and whatever way around that was, I can't remember. So maybe we just got a little bit carried away with them getting to the Champions League final, and now we're starting to see that actually there's a good few flaws in this squad.
Frank?
Well, yeah, I agree with you, Craig. And I think it was a special final of the Champions League. And we thought that finally Paris Saint-Germain was achieving something, even if they lost in the final against the best team of the competition. But I think we are wrong. I think we still have the same problems, the problems of leadership, the problem of a real team working together, having a thought about the game. We don't have anything. We have, as TV and Craig just said, two players who wants to make the difference, who are belonging to a certain show, I mean their own show, not sharing something with the others. And after, you try to cope with some players who I think don't deserve to be in a Paris Saint-Germain squad. And I agree with Craig. When Keane came, I was very surprised. Like Herrera, like Paredes, like some others that you wonder why they are in the Paris Saint-Germain if Paris Saint-Germain wants to win the Champions League. I don't understand what's going on there. And I think it's more circus than anything else, like it always been, in fact. And again, and I agree with Craig, we've been carried away last season, I mean, the end of the season in the Champions League, because they reached the final. But the problems and all the problems are still there. It's not a club. It's, I don't know, a big show, a TV show maybe, but not
Dan,
a football club.
Dan, PSG, let's put it in context. Man United domestically, and I know they got a good win against Newcastle, but domestically, outplayed by Brighton, won, outplayed by Crystal Palace, horsed by Tottenham Hotspur, have had to make all these changes going in here, have a player making his debut at left wing back, have a left back playing left centre back, have the right-sided centre-back or one of the centre-backs, Twanzebe, who hasn't played for Manchester United in so long. I mean, there was so many changes in there, and at least Solskjaer had the guts to admit once again that Pogba is a liability in case of his discipline. You know, in terms of his discipline and his defensive duties, something that we've talked about with PSG, but at least we can tip our cap to him and say he realised that he couldn't go in there and play Pogba from the start, and that's a slight in his reputation for one so athletic, but at least Ole Gunnar Solskjaer realised that what he had to do to go there and get a result. Thomas Tuchel, as the boys have said, just thought he could go out there with, you know, push it forward like any way you want, throw the fullbacks forward, leave the two centre-backs on their own, and the rest will take care of itself. Well, quite clearly, it's just not going to happen for them like that.
Stevie, we've of course been quite critical of Solskjaer, especially after that thrashing at the hands of Spurs. How much does this give him some breathing room from that criticism? Or is it a case you go into the match against Chelsea this weekend, you lose and you're back to square one?
Yes, exactly. You're back to square one. Listen, this is absolutely perfect for Ollie and the Manchester United squad and team. You know, to go again into Paris and expect to get hammered and then do what they're really, really good at. Let's be honest. If there's one thing Man United can do is they can bunker and then hit you on the break with pace. So it really was written. It was a script that was written for them. Did we expect it? No, because of how they're playing domestically. But it's not a huge shock. So listen, if they can put another performance together against Chelsea, then maybe we can start giving Ole a bit of breathing room. But right now, it's just one performance. And so you can't expect to get a lot of breathing room through one performance.
If you were Solskjaer, Dan, you'd be licking your chops having watched how Chelsea are still dropping points and losing goals. And, you know, you look at the pace of Rashford, and Stevie touched on it. He should have been more aggressive in the final third. You look at the pace of Martial and then the playmaking of Fernandes behind. There's no reason why, with the current state that Chelsea have started the season in, that they can't put at least get a result and put a string of results together. And this is a great result for them. But when you're the United manager, you're only two or three bad results or defeats away from being under the cosh again. So he knows that. But surely to God, this attacking performance again will give them a heck of a lot of confidence going into that big match at the weekend.
Craig, just explain how they can bunker and defend. Hey. How can they defend so well today against PSG, yet look so frail against Spurs just 2 weeks ago?
Because the because when the goal
was
home,
not playing.
What do you say?
Because Pog was not playing.
No, because Pog was not playing. And they did it to Man City a couple of times at least last year. When they go away from home or they play even at home against a Liverpool or a City, the defensive positioning is probably a good 10 yards deeper than it normally would be. And that's where they're going to utilise the pace up front. When they've played against some of the weaker teams, they've squeezed the game a little bit more and they themselves have been caught in behind because they've expected the Old Trafford against Crystal Palace and the West Hams and all these teams like Newcastle they played at the weekend. They're expected to dominate possession and therefore they're 10, 15, 20 yards further up the field. When they go to Paris or when they play a City or a Liverpool, they're closer to the edge of their own box, and so it's easier to defend in numbers than it is when you're attacking more and you're left a little bit more vulnerable. That's what happened to PSG, and that's why United, when they've played the better sides, not always, but a lot of times, have looked less vulnerable, and then they've utilised the pace of the front three. And it's actually worked out quite okay for them.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Elsewhere in the group, we saw Leipzig with a victory over Istanbul. It will be Manchester United against Leipzig next week.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A good friend of mine messaged me today saying, I fancy a bet in the Champions League, what should I go for? And I said, I'll take the over in the game between Chelsea and Sevilla when it comes to goals. So inevitably, it finishes 0-0. Frank still with us. Ali joins us as well. Frank, what do we say about this game? Nothing happened.
We could say, OK, turn the page and let's see next week.
Yeah,
because, I mean, we saw nothing. We saw nothing. I mean, I know... After the game that they played against Southampton, I look on the internet and I saw that the English newspaper, they put in a newspaper what I said, you know, about Chelsea. And I said, oh, maybe I was harsh, you know, and averse on Chelsea and everything. And I saw the game tonight and I said, well, I think I'm quite right. I don't see what I want to see. I don't see the players, you know, speeding up the game and doing something, changing rhythm, doing something. Well, I saw, of course, you know, what is his name? The goalkeeper.
Mendy
is much better than Kepa.
Yeah, this is it, Frank. If you're going to take a positive, it's a clean sheet for Chelsea, at least. After conceding those three goals against Southampton.
Yeah, it's a clean sheet, especially after the first half when you see that Sevilla had 65% of the possession of the ball, I think, something like that, away from home at Chelsea in Champions League. I mean, that's completely abnormal. I'm pleased to see Thiago Silva because I think he's a talented player and brings something very special to the defense and make it more solid. But after that, you know, I don't see in the midfield somebody, especially offensively, somebody doing something special to create something. And again, they don't speed the game up. They're like looking for each other without, like, not knowing each other. Mm. And we saw clearly nothing. The best chance, it was after an hour from Jordan on a corner kick because Chelsea player weren't marking, no Chelsea player were marking him, and he had a fantastic volley. That's the only thing that I saw. Half an hour, a chance from Werner, another half a chance from Zuma. That's it. Champions League, guys. Champions League. So, well, we're going to give all the credit that we can, but please, we want to see soon something. Please.
Frank, not too impressed, I think, Ali, with this.
Well, and neither should your friend be impressed with your advice in terms of... Well,
there should be goals, Ali. It's Sevilla.
That was
it's Chelsea.
Hey, is he still your friend? Did he give you a call? Did he lose some money because of you? Is he going to get his money back? Look,
I'm not sure.
You know, sometimes we make fun of this show and this show about expected goals, and we just saw the numbers there. And I think that in itself tells you part of the story. Neither one of these teams in expected goals actually made it to one. Not even half. It's 0.46 and 0.2 something. The truth of the matter is that neither one of these teams looked like they were interested in winning the game. It's almost as if they say, you know what, guys? We are the favorites to advance out of this group, and so therefore... let's not hurt each other. Let's go and take care of Krasnodar and Rams and whatever, and then we'll just kind of shake our hands and go on our merry way. There was nothing about this game that happened with any sort of speed. And when you look at Chelsea and the perspective of their attacking players, a guy like Timo Werner needs some space. A guy like Christian Pulisic is at his best when he's running at speed at people or running in behind. Well, the transition was never quick enough to actually run at anybody. And in the case of Sevilla, they're saying, all right, well, we're going to get organized behind the ball. We'll make it physical at times. And maybe we'll get something from Lucas Ocampo. Maybe Suso will do something. Maybe Jesus Navas on a late overlapping run will provide us with a cross and a service. And maybe Luke de Jong gets a goal. But it was never like, yeah, let's go get it. Neither one of these teams was interested in winning, in actually taking the chances and gambling going forward in order to win the game. It was almost like, you know what? We'll take the point. You take the point, and see you guys later.
Right, I've had enough. That's so fine. That's enough on that game. Just a reminder how the group looks in, as Ali mentioned, Rennes and Krasnodar, the other two sides in this group, they played out a 1-1 draw today.
Thanks, Frank. Ali, stay with me, though, because I want to talk about Barcelona's 5-1 victory over Ferencváros. A comfortable night's work at the Camp Nou. Messi getting goals, Dembele, Coutinho as well. The big positive for you?
If you're a Barcelona fan and you're looking at something that you can hang on to and say, this is how we can be successful from here on out, look at the second goal by Ansu Fati, where you see all the movement and rotation that ideally you would want to have from Barcelona with Messi playing as a false nine. As we know, with Messi playing as a false nine, it actually means you're playing with no nine. The truth of the matter is that Messi starts drifting around. So if he's going to move away from that position, somebody has to take that central role. In this particular sequence, Philippe Coutinho actually takes the position of Lionel Messi as Messi has withdrawn into a playmaking position. Okay, that's fantastic. That's great. What's the importance of that? Well, the moment that Coutinho shows for the ball, as he's taking that false nine position, that center striking position, now the center back gets drawn out of position, and then from there, that opens up the space for Ansu Fati to drop the ball off to Frenkie de Jong, and Frenkie de Jong looping the ball over the top, and Ansu Fati getting behind. You see rotation, you see movement, you see Messi dropping underneath, you see Coutinho taking his position, you take Ansu Fati running in behind. All those things happening at the same time give you an idea that Barcelona can do this. Now, can they do it against a better team? Can they do it consistently? Can they do it game in and game out? That's different, because what we have seen over the last couple of weeks is that they have struggled to create chances. But today against Ferencváros, we saw that there's the potential. And I'm just saying, just the potential that maybe this movement can happen more naturally as Barcelona continues to play together and there's a better understanding as to what everybody's role is on the field.
Koeman was critical of Messi, of course, post-Getafe. Winning the penalty, it was like he was back to his golden era.
It was. And I think if you look at the penalty itself and the sequence of the play, he throws himself out to the right-hand side, which tells me, and I think it's clear for everybody to see, that this false nine position for him, not natural. It's not what he wants to do. He wants to get on the ball. He wants to impact the game. He wants to drop underneath. He wants to get the ball in wide areas and come from the outside in. And it was old school Messi, if you will, when he took himself to the right-hand side, split a couple of defenders, draws the foul. It's a penalty. But it's yet another evidence of Lionel Messi saying, okay, I know structurally I'm supposed to be up there by myself, but reality is once the game starts, I'm going to go wherever I think the game calls it and whenever the game needs it and wherever this team needs from me. Now, sometimes that is going to demand that people are going to move into whatever Messi or whatever space Messi have left open. And that's the understanding that has to happen in the final third. But Messi himself, he naturally takes himself into positions where he thinks he can be dangerous. He did it with a penalty kick. And then he took a more central role when he lays the ball off to Dembele for the fifth goal. So there's variety to Messi's game today that certainly was not there over the weekend against Getafe.
Barcelona 3-0 up, cruising, all lovely. Next up is Juventus. But they won't have Gerard Piqué because he gets himself sent off. Stupidly, Ali. Completely unnecessary, pulling the shirt. Denying obvious goal scoring. It was a clear red card. He's got no better, hasn't he?
He does. And even more so when he is the sort of personality, if you will, that likes to talk a lot and likes to run his mouth. And he puts his opinions out there in the open. Okay, that's great. That also brings a lot of attention to you. So if you're going to run your mouth and you're going to speak your mind, you cannot make mistakes like this. And it was funny to me in watching the reaction of the other Barcelona players on the field. When the foul happens, usually if the players think that the referee has made a mistake, everybody gets on top of the referee. In this case, it was only Piqué from Barcelona complaining. Everybody else is like, yeah, well, we saw that. We knew it. And yeah, it's a penalty. What's even dumber about it, I think, from Piqué's perspective, is that, as you just mentioned, it's 3-0. Even if the Ferencváros player is able to get away from him, and even if he's able to score the goal, still 3-1 with less than 20 minutes to go. So what is the point of taking this chance? What is the point of actually taking the player down and having a red card? That tells me that, you know what, in that moment, he's not thinking big picture. He's thinking, I got to make this play. And in making this play, he makes what you just call a stupid decision. And to be honest with you, there's no other way to describe it.
Ali, as always, thank you very much. More from Ali, by the way, on Extra Time today. He joins me and Shaka to answer your tweets. You can check that out, as always, on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Elsewhere in Group G, Juventus then with a 2-0 victory away against Dinamo Kiev. Alvaro Morata with a brace in that one. Shaka, you're watching this game. No Ronaldo, no problem, really.
Yeah, it was easy in the end for Juventus. The first half played out a lot of nothingness, in all honesty. Kiev barely threatened. I think they had one shot on target in the first 45, and that came from 45 yards out or something ridiculous like that. And then Morata reacted really well in the opening minute of the second half. Juventus controlled the game, invited a little bit of pressure from Dinamo Kiev, who enjoyed decent possession, but didn't really stretch Chesney. And then Cuadrado, who was very good, played very advanced once Juventus found themselves in possession, put a great ball in for Morata, good header. And Juventus, the first time of asking under Andrea Pirlo, had all the answers for Dinamo Kiev. Comfortable winners, if they weren't overly electric or exciting. They had the game in control from beginning to end.
A nice response then from Juve, considering that disappointing draw against Crotone. Speaking about responsive, Lazio were absolutely terrible at the weekend, yet go and beat Borussia Dortmund by 3-1, Shaka. How did this happen?
It was fully deserved. Lazio was simply outstanding, particularly early on in the game. Coped with everything that Dortmund had. They pressed Dortmund high up the park. That's where the first goal came from. Dortmund couldn't find any kind of rhythm, couldn't get their way out of Lazio's press. And it was only when Lazio scored a second that all of a sudden they stopped, they dropped off, started to play a little bit deeper on the 65th minute, and Zaghi made a couple of changes. And Lazio attempting to defend that two-goal lead, understandably. And that's when Dortmund were at their best. All of a sudden they could find room. All of a sudden the likes of Jadon Sancho and Reina, who came on at halftime for Bellingham, started to run at Lazio's defence. And they got some joy from it. With a fantastic finish from Haaland. But even so, even with Lazio sitting a little bit deeper and now Dortmund's tail perked and looking for an equaliser, Lazio went down the other end, stunning counter-attack. They did to Dortmund, as Dortmund seems to do to everybody else. Ekpa on the end of a fantastic Ciro Immobile cross. I'm not sure how Immobile picked him out in the middle of the box. 3-1 was done and dusted. Lazio fully deserving of the 3 points.
Shaka, we talk about the inexperience of this Borussia Dortmund side. We talk about them growing and showing grit as they did away against Hoffenheim at the weekend. But then on the flip side of that, you get one back. Great goal from Haaland. You don't have to rush it. You don't have to then go straight away trying to get that second. They seem to do that. And that's when they got caught on the break. There didn't seem to be a time just to breathe, regroup and go again.
I think the challenge for Dortmund is they don't know how to do that.
Right.
They always play on the front foot. They always seem to play on the counter-attack. They are trying to hurt you every time they get the ball and hurt you with pace. So, yeah, you're right. They get the, I think Haaland goal was around the 70-minute mark. So there's a lot of time there to go and get something. But they feel the momentum shift, and it did. They were enjoying their best players of the game and went back into how they play league games. But in the Champions League, against competition like Lazio, who know what they're doing, who can be more pragmatic, who are willing to sit and wait on their opportunities, they found themselves unstuck. So as opposed to doing, as you say, maybe sit back and manage the game a little bit better in looking for that equaliser, they just did what comes naturally to them, left Lazio spacing behind and got hurt for it.
Shaka Hislop, thank you very much. Wednesday sees a whole round of matches once again, 8 in total. Some big ones as well. Be interesting to see Ajax against Liverpool. Bayern Munich taking on Atletico Madrid as well. And of course, we'll be talking about those big games on the next edition of the show. But that brings us to the end of today's program. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Stay tuned, though, for extra time as Ali gets his guitar out. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali and Shaka with me. A lot of tweets about PSG's defeat at home against Manchester United in the Champions League, like this one. If Thomas Tuchel's job is based solely on the Champions League, then shouldn't a 2-1 loss at home to a weaker Manchester United team be a fireable offence, Ali?
Well, if his job is based solely on Champions League, then if I were Thomas Tuchel, I would remind this person, yeah, we just made it to Champions League final not too long ago.
Oh, but who did you beat, Thomas? You beat nobody to get there, would be that person's response. Who did they beat to get to the Champions League final?
I'm just saying that I'm taking the Thomas Tuchel position here.
Right, and I'm taking the other person's position.
Hey, what is it with you? Why are you trying to get people fired already?
I'm not trying to get him fired. I'm just the voice of Hunter here.
One game. Let Hunter speak for himself. One game. It wasn't great. They did not look good at all. And mind you, if indeed Thomas Tuchel and PSG for some odd reason and somehow do not make it out of this group, I am sure that somebody will be tapping on his shoulder and saying, Thomas, that's the door out there. Please walk right through.
If I was Thomas Tuchel, in my defense, Shaka, I would say, I asked you for players in the summer, and what did you give me? Moises Keane.
Okay. I'm not sure which side of the argument you're on here, Dan.
I'm on everybody. I'm just
totally
there.
Confused. I am totally confused. But regardless, the thing is, and Ali's absolutely right, we still are talking about Champions League finalists, beating Champions League finalists.
Oh, come on, Shaq.
One game into the new... one game into the new Champions League season. All you have to do is get out to the group and then the knockout stages start. So to suggest that one game, one disappointing game, albeit at home to Manchester United, is somehow a sackable offence, then 50% of the managers in after this week's action will be out of a job.
For Shaka, has David De Gea's recent performances changed his mind? Could he actually get back to the level he was at a couple of years back? Made a good save today from Mbappe.
David De Gea was outstanding today against PSG. He played really well against Newcastle as well in a scoreline that maybe flattered Manchester United in some respects. It was 1-1 at 85 minutes, but Davide had a big role to play in it, in Manchester United still being even at that point. And as the question points out, I thought Davide was simply exceptional. On the day, did everything could be asked of him, looked comfortable, looked confident. But that's two games in. We're still two games removed from Spurs. But let's hope it continues.
With Leipzig looking strong in their first match, who are favourites to get knocked out in the group stage? Leipzig, Manchester United, or PSG? They were good today.
Leipzig! Let me make it clear for you, Dan, unless, just in case I wasn't just before. Leipzig! Yes, they are the favorites to be knocked out.
Ah, but they're top of the Bundesliga, Shaq. Unbeaten in the Champions League.
Yeah, listen, obviously, you know, it could go any which way here. And United have Leipzig next.
They could, right? It could go any which way here. This is Shaka's top-notch analysis. Thank you, Shaq.
Well, what do you want me to say after one game? That
just to jump to ridiculous conclusions that I will then throw in your face in a couple of weeks.
I'm not going to, as much as I know you're looking forward to that, Dan, I'm not going to get... Let's have one more game before we start sticking on Nexo.
Okay.
Give me United at home to Leipzig, and then let me stick my neck out.
So, Ali, earlier today, me and Shaka did a digital hit where Shaka mistakenly said, instead of putting his neck out, putting his arm out. I'm not going to put my arm out yet.
But it's a long arm.
It is a big arm.
I wanted to save my neck for another prediction.
Clearly. Shaq has got big fingers as well, piano playing like fingers. You should have been good at the piano, Shaq.
I was very good. I'm very musically inclined. I'm sure you'll be happy to know, Dan.
I'm sure you're a very impressive pianist.
Most certainly am, yes.
100%!
Ali, do you play a musical instrument?
Me?
Yeah.
I am not musically inclined.
No, you bought a guitar like 4 years ago. Melissa bought you it for your Christmas, didn't she?
Wait a second.
Oh, we could get a musical treat here, Shaka. This is exciting.
Wait, I got it.
Play us something, Ali.
I can't. Because I gotta change the chords. So you see, I'm left-handed and these things are for right-handed.
So how long have you had it?
At least 3 or 4 years.
And should you not have changed it before now?
Yes, I should have. But I think I realize I'm not good at this.
Right.
And so I have not invested myself. But I do carry it around the house just tapping it. Hey.
Okay. Away from our musical talents. Ali, should Pjanic start ahead of Sergi Busquets against Real Madrid in El Clasico?
No. Even though I do think that the time for Sergio Busquets in this team is slowly coming to an end, Miralem Pjanic, one of the criticisms in the Catalan media has been that he hasn't shown to be in the best level of fitness available to him. And he's not quite there just yet. But I think eventually it's going to get to the point where Ronald Koeman is going to have to make a decision. And at this point, it feels like the legs of Sergio Busquets, as good as he has been for this club, legs seem to be going, and maybe Pjanic brings something different to the midfield.
Final question. Shaka, is Petr Cech being named the fourth choice keeper for Chelsea the biggest insult to the other keepers at Chelsea? This, of course, the news that broke today that Petr Cech is in the Champions League squad for Chelsea as a precautionary measure. Shaka got excited by this, didn't you, Shaq?
I did. So what's the question? That it's an insult.
Is it an insult to say
keepers?
To some of the youngsters you could have put in coming up through the ranks?
No.
Oh, well, thank you, Shaq.
That's all I have to say to that.
Well, that's all you have to say about that.
How is that some kind of an insult? Petr Cech is fourth, behind three.
Yes.
The chances of him getting on are minuscule. He probably will travel with the squad to away Champions League games because he's involved with the staff. So it's just common sense. I don't see how that's an insult.
I was incorrect. It was the Premier
League.
Back
to my original
Premier
answer.
League, not the Champions League. To get that correct.
Did you notice the cutting edge analysis there by Shaq and saying Petr Cech is fourth? That means he's behind three.
Yes.
Thank you, Shaq.
No, that's good.
That.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Ali, would you like to play us a tune as we go out?
No, I've got nothing.
Please.
Honestly,
you've had that for
around.
4 years. How do you not know a single tune?
Just try.
Yeah.
No. Just try. Just give us a couple of chords.
Here's the thing. I walk around with my cowboy hat playing this. Oh, this is it.
You're not like the naked. Yeah. You're not the naked cowboy of Connecticut, Ali.
I am not. I am not. No, I don't play that kind of music.
What?
The naked cowboy, the guy that's the one at all. It's in Times Square. He's naked to playing the guitar there, isn't he? Probably not now, but he used to be.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Dan.
He's a real thing. He is. I promise. Google him. Yeah. Just not
I'm
on a work
sure
computer.
He is, Daniel.
That's it. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Ali, you got to learn a tune by the end of the month for us.
I gotta change the chords.
Oh, your blooming chords.
I gotta change this thing so I can give you everything I got, you know?
That's it. We'll be back tomorrow for more Champions League analysis. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.